and now really focuses the Greenway interface with retail at two locations. One was, which is basically where the old Spaghetti Factory already is, and a site across from there. And then at the end of Gibb Street, which is a pretty major connection between the community and the Greenway itself. And that would be basically ending before you get to the Greenway setback and along a plaza space that's been designated for the Greenway at that location. So
does it encroach further into the Greenway?
It does not. And so we're forwarding the requested action by the Planning Commission and Design Commission to adopt this package, the design guidelines and the zoning amendments as proposed. And as I mentioned, one of our design commissioners is here if you have additional questions about that process or their concerns. Thank you.
Additional conversation from council?
I have a question about exempting channel maintenance. And again, I'm not sure whether this is...
It's existing code.
Right.
So
who regulates channel maintenance if we're not going to?
Quite honestly, couldn't answer that question.
So if you could get back to me on that, that'd be very interesting. Because I'm assuming, thinking that we might want to have additional review by the city, given our extra aspirations for
the... It is my understanding that most of the wind water work is usually handled by the Army Corps and State Division of Lands. But I think we have limited jurisdictional authority once you get below or ordinary high, but I can't tell you that for certain.
And I think we'll want to have some conversations about the North Reach plan and how that relates to this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Unless there's additional council discussion, Sue, how many people have signed up? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work. I know it's been a lot.
We have two people who have signed up, Mike Houck and Andrew Jansky.
Good morning, Mr. Houck. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
Mr. Jansky. Hi. Welcome to the City Council.
Mayor Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here today representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute and Audubon Society of Portland. Bob Salinger could not be here because, ironically, he's at a park board retreat this morning. Otherwise, he would have been here. I just want to really emphasize, it's already been brought up, and I'll go ahead and do a mea culpa. Obviously, you know us well enough to know that we much prefer to have had our input long before something reaches you folks. The fact of the matter is, both Bob and I, me going back to, I think, 1999 or 2000 or something like that, participating in the original discussions about the Greenway, have had a long interest in this subject. I don't know what I can do to explain why we were not engaged in these interim steps. All I can say is I personally was not aware of some of the issues that we've expressed our concerns about. So I'll just leave it at that for now. I'm just hopeful that our comments, in fact, are not too late to be somehow factored into the process and have an impact on the result. As was pointed out, actually, Bob put together very detailed comments that you have access to. I just want to, I guess, reiterate at this point. It sounds like my testimony has already been presented and responded to. Our main areas are the fact that at each iteration of this process, and again, I'm going back to around 2000, where it was understood that there were trade-offs regarding the width of the Greenway and height of buildings and so forth, and this was envisioned as an exemplary opportunity to integrate the natural environment with a built environment. And it just feels like, and again, looking at the images and each iteration of the process, that there's been what I guess I would call hardscape creep, that the emphasis on habitat has gotten less and less at each iteration. At least it appears that way to us from the images. And pictures are worth a thousand words. Secondly, as we point out, there are issues with NOAA fisheries that don't seem to be addressed in the document. That's a concern. And then finally, the final one is coordination. As we pointed out in the letter, we're not about to suggest to you which entity is the best one to do the coordination, but it was brought up that the Office of Healthy Waters, Healthy and Working Waters, mm-hmm. may be appropriate given that seems to be the preference. So, again, I'll just close by saying we're hopeful that our recommendations will ensure that the ecological objectives that we believe have been there since the beginning and an integral element of the Greenway concept but seem to be decreased over time are addressed. And we are more than happy, and we do this all the time, to work with staff to respond to some of those issues and give examples of what we're trying to get at.
You have been very problem-solving oriented, and I appreciate that. Thank you. So we'll, before the end of the hearing, I'll give you my thoughts on next steps.
Thank you.
If I might just comment that you've exemplified why it's very helpful to send in testimony ahead of time, that we do read the information that's sent and want to respond to it.
Right.
It was a last minute, which is why the mayor and I haven't even had a chance to talk about it yet. So for those watching at home, the earlier you can send in your comments, the more likely we are to be able to respond in a timely manner. But, and... coming to City Council at the very last hearing can make a difference also. So thank you.
And I did want to point out that we did go out of our way to give staff a heads up and had communication with staff from various bureaus to, in deference to them, this was not intended to be bomb throwing or, you know, try to derail the process. It's try to make a better product.
Thank you. Sir?
To answer your question earlier, the Corps regulates the channel dredging and maintenance. And they consult National Marine Fisheries and DEQ and about 10 other agencies. So.
And for the record, I have to have you say your name.
And that's here now. Andrew Jansky, I'm a member of Design Review Commission. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Mayor Adams, and members of the council for reconfirming my position recently on the Design Review Council Commission. The second term has proved to be much different than the development frenzy that shaped Portland in my first term. I'm here to read into the record a letter from the Design Commission supporting the ordinance.
Delay frenzy now.
We could structure an ordinance today that channels all the citing for the lose to Design Commission if you need more work. Yeah. Commissioner Leonard, I hate to see them idle.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's a lot of talent over there.
To be slacking
you
off.
If you could handle the public hearings and just send your recommendations to us by email.
But you were saying.
Okay. The comments from Audubon and UGI made the rounds yesterday and prompted discussion and numerous emails amongst us, and Design Review Commission was compelled to prepare a response. So hopefully this doesn't count against my 3 minutes. To the members of Portland City Council, the Portland Design Commission appreciates this opportunity to clarify our rationale for requesting active retail uses at very limited locations along South Waterfront Greenway. Our push for some modest adjustments to Greenway zoning code grew from incidences where city employees and others who were leading tours on public property along the river's edge were confronted by South Waterfront residents who believed that the Greenway was their private property. As more proposals for new South Waterfront projects along the river's edge came before our commission, it became clearer that the Greenway was shaping up into an amenity that mostly feels like private space to those who live next to it and potentially to the general public. The Design Commission is particularly concerned about this unintended consequence of the current broad zoning language because the public has and will make significant investments in the river restoration and South Waterfront's development in general. Today, there are few places for Portlanders to connect with the Willamette River. Therefore, we believe the public should be drawn to South Waterfront Greenway to see and enjoy our river. Through requiring active retail uses at just two nodes along the central portion of the South Waterfront's Greenway, we hope developers will create a few special places where the public could feel comfortable to stop, rest, and enjoy the river. It should be noted that south of the River Place and all the way around the waterfront pathway loop south of OMSI, there are very few opportunities to stop, rest, and get a bite to eat while enjoying a visual connection to the river. Should the zoning code status quo be maintained, the South Waterfront's Greenway risks becoming much like the rest of the southern reach of the Willamette Greenway loop, a just passing through trail rather than a trail that encourages a broader public to contemplate the beauty of the river. It should be noted that these uses are already allowed in the existing Greenway by right. The difference is that active use has been interpreted to date as front yards for private townhomes. It is the Design Commission's belief that these proposed limited nodes of active retail will better serve trail users, signal that the thoroughfare is a public amenity, and potentially create a much better, safer, higher functioning facility for all users. The photos included in the documents in question are not meant to be prescriptive. The Design Commission believes that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff has a particular challenge in providing visual examples of how this sort of riverfront activation might be met. We believe that it is quite likely that the perfect combination of a restored natural environment and a beloved, highly visited public amenity may not yet exist. But the Design Commission believes that it all could exist. Indeed, Portland may be the first city to broker such a successful balance between comfortable habitat for all of the city's inhabitants. One little paragraph here. The design teams who have worked on the properties lining the Greenway and on the Greenway itself have all met the challenge of designing a built environment in an environmental zone. It is our belief that the design team will continue to successfully develop the river's edge. It is our hope that they will do so in a way that encourages the public to enjoy the river running through our great city. Thank you for your consideration today.
Thank you.
All right, now I just wanted to move into my...
Oh, that was...
I still have two minutes.
No, you don't. You stop the clock. You're like 5 minutes.
But he's on the design commission.
So we're going to give you more time.
I would like to speak briefly as a design review commissioner about these guidelines and process.
Passion for planning up here in council.
The guidelines and codes directly address the upland space, hardscape, landscape, and public experience. Elements in the National Marine Fisheries jurisdiction are not directly relevant. Staff worked closely with our commission, attended numerous meetings and work sessions. Public input was received at all of our meetings. Direction was provided to staff, and it was considered and integrated. Additional public comment was accepted later at the Planning Commission, and additional minor changes included. The package as presented represents the product of a working public process. The design guidelines are an effective tool for people interested in building in Portland and for us to show a theme, idea, or concept. It's not a cookbook, and examples are not hard and fast. Imagery is provided to tie the text together. It's not the final representation. Our commission and staff spent significant effort selecting and discussing appropriate images, but it is possible to read too much into them if taken out of context with the written word. Finally, as an expert, taking off my design commission hat, as an expert working on the river here, I would like to provide some perspective on NIMS. They are mentioned multiple times in the Audubon UGI letter. NIMS's goal is to protect and enhance the existence of endangered fish and their habitat, not human habitat. NIMS has their own venue for achieving their goals through a very involved federal permit process for in-water work. Audubon comments may be relevant to current discussions on two city projects currently in design, South Waterfront and Centennial Mill, but not in the planning context of the current ordinance. The comments do bring up a subject for future discussion and debate, though. River Renaissance has been very successful in increasing river awareness by many people, but two groups with generalized values are starting to form, and limited willingness to compromise is being demonstrated. Part of the group thinks that the river should be maximized for wildlife and natural systems, and the other groups think that the river should be maximized for public, humans, recreation, commerce, and jobs. So we're essentially in gridlock.
No, we're in Portland, and we've figure out how to make both things happen and work.
Well, amen. It's perfect because you're going to get the chance coming up in a couple weeks.
On a number of river-related issues. Nobody knows that better than Commissioner Fritz.
Yeah, I would like to reiterate on the compromise issue. We have been at the table for over 10 years, and we are very interested in integrating the built and natural environment for people and for wildlife. And we've made that clear throughout the process.
And I agree that we can have both. So first of all, thank you for your service on the Design Commission, and thank you for knowing the answer to my question about the in-water work, which actually answers a number of my other questions regarding the expertise on the Design Commission for evaluating the approval criteria for these kinds of decisions. Could you just tell us you said you have several hats, but what is your professional background?
I design, I've done a lot of parks, East Bank, South Waterfront, the design, Centennial Mill, basically most things have been done in town, in downtown Portland, on the water, in the river. So I extensively work in permitting with National Marine Fisheries.
And so there is expertise on the Design Commission to be able to evaluate those kind of
But
material.
All of the code, all of this had no, there's nothing really in the code that is applicable to National Marine Fisheries comments because it's all up on the upper in the retail core. It's a whole different language I had to learn.
Right, but the approval criteria for the Greenway are things that the Design Commission, either in a Type 3 or in an appeal of Type 2, the Design Commission has to review those and decide whether the proposal does or doesn't meet. So is the Design Review Commission the right entity to make that call, is my question.
No. Things get a little odd when you transition from the top of bank into the river. So the codes and regulations overlap. NIMS tries to come out of the water a little bit, and the city goes down into the water a little bit. So there's some overlap.
Okay.
But it doesn't necessarily, NIMS doesn't regulate a parking lot or ground floor retail or any of the pedestrian level improvements in the greenway at all. Unless we want to go down into the river and create a dock or a public access path in the water.
So that'll be something to continue to work on as to how we're integrating what NIMS is asking. The other question I have for you as a design commissioner is, there is a current use on the Greenway with a restaurant with an outdoor space, and I've experienced that from both sides. And as a pedestrian walking through it, it feels really awkward walking through what appears to be a restaurant outdoor seating. As a restaurant patron, it seems really odd to have sweaty runners within a few inches of my table in that space. So I'm wondering, do you think that the current design guidelines are going to correct that problem in the South Waterfront area?
Maybe
we're going to have showers right at the beginning of the restaurant.
I think it's probably a matter of perspective, because the architects on the commission might think that that's very healthy and vibrant to have the intermixings of, see, I've learned all these words as an engineer, the intermixing of the different types of people and the different spaces could be seen as good, or you could experience it as bad. But the new rules are trying to encourage more activity on the Greenway. Right now, there is no activity. What we saw is people's backyards, and nothing was going to happen because the best thing to put in there was a condo. And once you put it in a condo, it's locked up forever. It will never really change. So we were concerned that we were going to have 6,000 feet of people's backyards with no activity on the water.
And I think moving forward to Commissioner Fish's point, we do need to figure out a funding strategy. I mean, that if there was an actual Greenway Trail, that would be different. So those are some of the things I want to work on as we move forward on this.
What we're starting to experience is a problem that is, I think it's a fundamental issue with the statewide Goal 15, if I recall, it's the Greenway Trail, which requires public trail on the water. So how we have interpreted that is to require a paved Greenway Trail within 25 feet of top of bank. And now we're trying to implement that, and that is running headlong into habitat restoration goals. And in my meetings with NIMS, they don't like the trail because it's hardscape.
You said that they didn't have regulatory authority.
They don't.
So they don't like it.
But we say, you know, we sit and say, let's do a riverbank restoration and create a bunch of great habitat. And then we plunk a trail right on top, which undoes some of that benefit.
So I really appreciate the opportunity to air this issue out. We had reserved the 45 minutes on council to do so, and we're at the end of that. This process, I'd like to have the second reading. Do we have a date scheduled for the second reading? So just to try to instill some discipline of getting this done, because I know you all have been working on it a very long time, and it is very difficult, and I just want to underscore my thanks and appreciation for this very good work. These are really hard issues, and council be warned, in the 3-4 months ahead, we've got a number of very gnarly, difficult planning issues coming before you. So, Sue, could we, is there a time certain we could have at the end of January? We can reschedule, but
January 20th, also the 27th.
Let's say the 27th at what time?
That would be at 10 o'clock.
Okay. So if it's okay with council, I'd like to continue the hearing until January 27th at 10 o'clock. January 27th at 10 o'clock. All right. So accomplished. Thank you. That gets us to the items pulled from the consent agenda. One will be heard as part of the 1674, but there is an additional one, 1655.
Mayor, if I could, because Andrea's got another commitment, could we just pull her up to do that quickly? We don't have to pair it.
Sure.
She'll do a very brief.
So that's item number?
That's 1667.
1667. Yes, I got it. Okay, can you please read the title for 1667?
$16.67, accept a grant in the amount of $4 million from the Office of Lead Hazard Control of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for lead abatement program.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I'm pleased to introduce Andrea Mathiason of the new Portland Housing Bureau and also to thank the mayor for joining us tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the ribbon cutting on our new space, which will now, under one roof, house a staff formerly from the Portland Development Commission with the former BHCD.
Very exciting.
Andrea is here very briefly to share some good news about a lead paint grant that we were awarded. And I want to publicly commend Andrea, who wrote and successfully secured the $4 million lead grant for the City of Portland. This is the fourth consecutive grant awarded to our community, and this resource has helped hundreds of households prevent lead hazards. Andrea?
Thanks, Commissioner Fish. So, commissioners, good morning. As the Portland Housing Bureau asks you to accept this $4 million federal grant, I just wanted to give you, as Nick said, a very brief description of this program. The $4 million will be spent over 3 years, and we anticipate that it will make 375 low-income families be able to live in housing that is free from lead paint hazards. This is important funding because in Portland, over 80% of our housing stock was built before 1978 when lead paint was banned, and over 50% of our housing stock was built before 1950 when it's very likely, or highly likely, as some folks would say, that there is lead paint in the home and then children at risk of becoming lead poisoned. The geographic area for this grant is all of Multnomah County, as well as Washington County and Clackamas County, so it's a very collaborative grant. It allows us to work closely with the Multnomah County Health Department, as well as some of our jurisdictional partners in Gresham, Troutdale, and elsewhere. As Commissioner Fish said, $13 million has been received from HUD under this program since 1998. It's allowed us to make approximately 1,200 homes lead safe, protecting over 2,000 children under the age of six from the harmful effects of lead poisoning. The match for this grant is provided by the Portland Water Bureau. They budget approximately $475,000 annually for about $1.4 million total over the life of the grant, and that's ratepayer dollars, for education and outreach services in the community, as well as blood lead poisoning services in the community. And those resources are contracted out to seven community-based organizations to provide those services. The grant also has a small amount of money to support some economic development capacity work. Small contractors are provided training, education, and funds to become certified lead abatement contractors. It supports the work of the program as well as increases jobs in the community. And then lastly, in addition to providing resources directly to homeowners and private landlords, this fund is also used as a development tool for some of our affordable housing partners, the Housing Authority of Portland, Reach Community Development, PCRI, as a tool that allows them to acquire and rehab properties that would otherwise have lead-based paint hazards in them. We are able to go in and contribute significant resources to address those hazards as part of the development process. So, any questions?
Now you know why I'm especially proud of Andrea's work, Mayor, and I also want to, again, thank Commissioner Leonard and the Water Bureau for the match, which is an essential portion of this program and allows us to expand our reach.
And without that match, we would be not as competitive as we are, so we do very much appreciate that.
And I've had the opportunity at the East Portland
Community Center?
No, the East Portland Summer Event. Expo, I think it was called. East Portland Expo, where one of your contractors tested my blood for lead.
At Josiah Hill Clinic, yes.
And whatever mental health issues I'm having cannot be blamed on lead because...
We've eliminated lead.
We've eliminated lead.
Okay. That one off.
Many other... Proximity to Commissioner Leonard is still a live option, though.
Yes.
Okay.
I blame it on that. They were great. They were reassuring. They had a good sense of humor. I cried only a little. And thank you.
And Mayor, we will be, with a new housing bureau, you will be, and the council will have more regular contact with professionals throughout the organization doing great work, and we did not want to miss this opportunity to share the good news on the lead bait program, and we'll be continuing to roll out other good news stories as we go forward.
I think that's important. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anyone wish to testify on 16 or on this matter? Sue, can you please call the roll?
Moves to a second reading.
Oh, sorry.
I believe,
Oh, I see, because it was on consent.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Moves to second reading. Can you please read the title for pulled item number 1655?
Authorize application to the Department of Human Services Regional Offices on Women's Health for a grant in the amount of $2,500 for activities and events in support of National Women's Health Week in May 2010.
Commissioner Fritz.
If you could pass out the amendment. It feels a little odd after the $4 million grant to be talking about a $2,500 grant, but we're very proud of it in our office. This is a grant in celebration of National Women's Health Week, which is May, and we are proposing to do some health education and outreach to women who are living outside. And the grant amends the partners. Our partners are going to be Dinner and a Movie, Rosehaven Women's Shelter, Home PDX, and the Salvation Army Female Emergency Shelter. And as part of the grant, we're going to work with our partners to do educational outreach to the women who most need it.
Fantastic.
So it's just minor amendments to the wording of the grant application.
Second.
Rudy, could you come in for a second?
Sue, would you please call the roll on the amendments?
Leonard. Fritz.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank Sarah Hussein in my office, who's worked very diligently on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. The amendments are approved. Unless there is anyone that wishes to testify on 1655, please call the roll on the ordinance.
It's a first reading.
Leonard.
It's an emergency.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And again, thank you to all the city employees and visitors to the Portland Building, City Hall, and the 1900 Building for the socks, which have been flowing in. There's two more days to donate socks, which are going to transition projects. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Good work, Commissioner Fritz. Aye.
Adams.
This is excellent. Appreciate your work. Thank you. Aye. 1655 is approved. Can you please read the title for Ordinance Street Vacation 1671?
1671, vacate a North Levitt Avenue north of Decatur Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
This is a first reading, so hearing only. Is there any discussion or questions from council on this item? Is there anyone?
I would just like to thank, are you Lance Lindahl?
I am.
Thank you very much. And also Dee Walker, who answered all my questions ahead of time.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Unless there is anyone that wishes to testify in 1671, then it moves to a second reading. Thank you, staff, for your good work. Can you please read the title? Second reading, vote only on 1672.
Vacate a portion of Southeast Berkeley Way at Southeast Tenino Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Please call the vote.
Leonard. Fritz.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams, and the staff in transportation for briefing me on this street vacation and others, and there's some very diligent work going on. When we vacate a street, it means that it's no longer available for public transportational uses except when we're reserving easements for that use. So it's an important decision, and I appreciate the staff work on it. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Good work, staff. Aye. 1672 is approved. Can you please read the title for 1673, Emergency Ordinance?
Establish governance structure and operating principles for the city's enterprise business solution system.
Good morning, Ms. Sims. Welcome back.
Hello.
Jennifer Sims, CFO and EBS project sponsor for the city, Mayor Adams, members of the council. This proposed ordinance provides support and direction for the city's new enterprise business solution system. First, it continues and formalizes the governance structure put in place that successfully implemented the system, and it includes continuation of the independent citizen review panel. It also sets out operating principles that provide direction to maximize the city's investment in this critical business system.
And the succinctness of your presentation is excellent. Previously, we had a longer discussion, and you had a longer presentation when it was item 1626. So the difference between this item compared to that item is what you noted, and I just want to underscore for council, is the continued outside expert review that provides us with the second and third opinions on all aspects of the SAP project.
Yes.
City's Enterprise Business Solution System project. All right. Is there council discussion with Ms. Sims?
I have some questions. And you may have answered these before. The mayor and I were both late at a Portland Plan meeting last night, so my brain isn't functioning very well. So forgive me if you've already answered these questions. But the system, it's governed by the Executive Steering Committee, and any recommendations can be vetoed by the Chief Administrative Officer. Will the council know about those vetoes?
We haven't planned any particular communication except through the regular meetings that we would have with you. And I think
that
you did ask that,
right.
And you
yes.
said that that was good, that
yes.
that would be
Thank you for
satisfactory.
Reminding me.
So we did ask,
right.
answer these questions.
And then this other one, I'm again, forgive me, the rotation between police and fire, water, BES, parks, PDOT.
Would be in consultation with those directors, their availability and interest.
Thank you.
Unless there are additional council discussion, is there anyone that wishes to testify on Emergency Ordinance 1673? Sue, would you please call the vote?
I understand we have an amendment that was in your packet to add that paragraph for the outside
So
review.
Moved. Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Who seconded? I'm sorry. Thank you.
Can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Unard. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Amendment is approved. Can you please call the vote on the underlined ordinance 1673?
Leonard. Fish? Fritz, excuse
Aye.
Me? Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1673 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance 1674?
Authorize additional mortgage revenue bonds to continue the mortgage credit certificate program.
And can you also, we'll be considering this in conjunction with? Can you please?
We just took that one.
We did that already. That's right.
Freestanding.
Hi.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners.
Mayor, could I just tee this up real quick?
Please.
Thank you. Mayor, I want to introduce Eric Johansson, the city's debt manager, and Javier Mena from the Portland Housing Bureau, who will present about the Mortgage Credit Certificate Program. The MCC program is an important city tool to help increase home ownership opportunities for low-income and communities of color in Portland. Creating these opportunities are important for a number of reasons, including we are nearly 10% behind the nation national home ownership rate of 67%. Here in Portland, we're at 57%. Now is a good time in Portland to buy a home. The market has opened up, and this tool helps create opportunities, particularly for first-time homeowners. The current median home price in Portland is $245,000. A family of four earning $70,000 a year would qualify for an extra $15,000 in lending using MCC. In other words, they would qualify for a $295,000 of financing, not simply $280,000 of financing. The difference means greater housing choice, closer to transportation, parks, friends, and family. At a time when our city has many demands on it, the MCC program provides a cost-effective way for us to meet our housing goals without impacting our limited resources. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Eric and Javier. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Eric Johansson, City Debt Manager.
One of those things that should
this ordinance authorizes $80 million of mortgage revenue bonds.
Okay.
Now,
thanks.
Unlike other bond authorizations that we do, we have no intention of issuing these bonds, but rather the bonds will be converted into mortgage credit certificate authority pursuant to IRS rules. You may recall that in 2007, we went through this very same process where we authorized $20 million of mortgage revenue bonds and converted that authority into $5 million of mortgage credit certificate authority. That $5 million has now been completely used in issuing mortgage credit certificates. So we're back now to request both an extension of that program and an expansion in terms of dollars. With approval of this ordinance, and if we're successful in getting private equity volume cap authority, will have the ability to offer now $25 million of mortgage credit certificate authority going forward. So this is the first step in the process of getting private activity volume cap and then ultimately being able to offer a larger program to more citizens of the city.
And Eric, I just want to be clear. When you talk about private activity bond cap, we're talking about submitting an application to the state treasurer who has a private activity bond committee, and we have been pretty successful in the past getting our allocation.
Exactly. Yep.
Thank you. Javier, welcome.
Thank you. Javier Mena, Portland Housing Bureau. The Portland Development Commission, in partnership with the Portland Housing Bureau, administers the MCC program. And as Eric mentioned, it is an IRS-sponsored program funded through the state's private activity bond. The MCC enables first-time homebuyers the ability to claim up to 20% of their mortgage interest rate, and also which increases their purchasing power and it lowers their tax liability at the end of the year. By increasing the capacity or the ability to up to $100 million, it increases the MCC ability fivefold, going from $5 million to $25 million, which pretty much we can help up to 560 home buyers be able to call Portland home. This is how the system works. We make an application to the private activity bond. Once we receive an allocation, we transfer that allocation into MCC authority, and that is transferred over to PDC to administer the program. PDC has partnered with over 25 lenders to help first-time home buyers, and so it is the MCC's issue through those private lenders. To qualify for the program, a home buyer must be a first-time home buyer, which with IRS terms, it means they have not owned a home in the past 3 years. Their income, if they're one to two household, cannot be more than $70,000. If it's a household of three or more, it cannot be more than $80,500. And for the home buyer, once again, to be able to claim that credit, the home has to be owner occupied. And these are IRS rules that are very simple to follow, and that we would do that. In regard to the benefits of the program, it is something that we are able to assist first-time home buyers without really impacting the tax base, as well as this came out of Operation Home, which was an initiative to help communities of color buy purchase a home in Portland. And so we have an emphasis, a specific emphasis, to help communities of color through the program. It is available citywide, and it's one of the few programs, home ownership programs, that's available citywide. As a result of our first request, which was the $20 million allocation, which provided $5 million in MCC authority, we have helped over 125 home buyers. And to give you an idea, we had 3 years to utilize that allocation, which meant by December 2010, we had to have utilized the entire allocation. As of November 2009, the entire allocation had been either committed or issued, which proves to the need for the program as well as the partnership that we have with the private lenders. We have 25 participating lenders. We have trained out of those participating lenders 147 loan officers, and 30 of which are very active in the program. It is only through their actions and through their activities that this program is successful or can be successful. And with that, we have leveraged $25 million in private mortgage lending. We hope that you pass the program. We look forward to the continuance of the success of the program. We have gained momentum through the first-time home buyer credit, and we look forward to the new allocation. Thank
Mayor
you.
Adams, just three quick comments, if I could. First, as a result of the reorganization of the housing delivery systems of the city, the home buyer programs will now be housed under the same roof. That will be the Portland Housing Bureau. So these programs will be administered by the Portland Housing Bureau. There will be continued to be some relationships with Portland Development Commission in terms of implementation. But this, one of the consequences of the reorganization that you and I launched in December is that homeownership programs will now be under the same roof with affordable housing, homeless, and other programs which we administer. Number two, as Javier noted, this program, this particular mortgage credit certificate program, helps us tackle a continuing challenge we have in our community, which is the minority homeownership gap. And it is a market-based way of helping to get first-time homeowners, particularly in communities of color, into homes. And third, I'll simply report to you that the $8,000 federal tax credit has had a significant impact locally. We've seen a big spike. You might have seen in the paper today, record numbers of home sales within a certain price range, and that price range generally corresponds to what first-time homeowners are buying. So at the sort of low to middle end, we're seeing a lot of activity. The concern we have, of course, is if that tax credit goes away, is this just another bubble? Is this something propped up by the tax code and when we revert? But programs like this allow us to continue to backfill. It's another tool we have to get people into homes, and it's fully secured. So I would urge your support.
Fantastic. Any discussion from council? Is there anyone that, thank you, gentlemen, very much. Is there anyone that wishes to testify in 1674?
Veronica has let me know she would like to testify.
Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine. I'm really, I'm probably running. I'm on the run. We're actually running around a lot. The students at Portland State are really running around a lot, which keeps us very trim. I'll sit down. Good morning, Mayor Sam Adams. Thank you. And gracious good morning to all of you. Lovely, nice, healthy-appearing, well, healthy-looking city council members, especially Randy Leonard. It's so good to see your face again, Randy. You're looking well.
He's lost all that weight.
Well, yes, but Randy, I know, but it's not slowing you down, is it?
Oh, it isn't.
Yeah, good morning, too. You're right on the money there, Randy. I like the effort you put into the stuff over the weekend. Good morning, Amanda Fritz. It's good to see you. I like that green on you. It's a good color.
Yeah. You need to give us your name for the record.
Oh, right. Veronica Vernier, Portland State University, Community Health Education and Public Health graduate of 2005. And good morning, Sam Adams. You're right on the nose with all that.
Do you like my tie?
Yes, I do. That's a perfect roadmap for the city. Yeah, right in there with transportation.
I took it off of Brendan Finn this morning.
You don't think the mayor has the same healthy glow that Commissioner Leonard has? Is that what you're saying?
I don't shine as much as he does.
She didn't actually say I had a glow.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know. I don't presume to go out after dark anymore. Actually, nice ladies don't. I mean, unescorted, I meant.
What you were saying.
Okay. Mayor Sam Adams, of course, this is very serious. And I did go actually out of after dark for the international commemoration for the AIDS, people with AIDS last night, and we did see you. It was a good speech and very nice food and a good showing, about 250 in the basement here. It was very good. I was glad to hear you come forward with that. And especially now when it's so cold, and that's a real big issue for a lot of people. Really in support of that. As a former nurse myself, I always support people that have illness problems. Also, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, you did a really good job with that. I read in the paper what happened, and that's such a hard situation to think about in terms of the city and police officers and use of forces and that. But when officers do come in, it's always a mixed bag, and so we always support that blue line out there. And Commissioner Nick Fish, of course, it's important to keep fighting that battle for affordable housing. I just wanted to say that as a former nurse myself, I find that it's a really good market, and I support you in your uniform efforts for housing. Portland Housing Bureau has had one of the most open housing markets in the neighborhood, and I think in the community. And it's easier for people in this area to get backing for housing as first-time home buyers than almost any other city I've lived in. And so I want to support your efforts, and good luck. Have a nice week.
Happy holidays, Veronica. Thank you very much for your kind words. All right, this is non-emergency, so it moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance 1675?
Authorize water revenue bonds to finance water system additions and improvements.
Well, we have the able representatives from Office of Management Finance and the Water Board.
Thank you, Commissioner Lind.
Thank you. Eric Johansson, City Debt Manager, with me this morning, David Schaff and David Hassan from the Water Bureau. The ordinance before you this morning authorizes up to $75 million of revenue bonds to finance the Water Bureau's ongoing capital program. The proceeds from these bonds are expected to fund capital projects over approximately the next 12 to 14 months for the Water Bureau. We're anticipating that we'll be selling these bonds at the end of January, closing in early February. And I'd be happy to take any questions. And we have the Water Bureau representatives here in case there's any questions about projects and so forth.
Discussion from council with this panel of experts.
I have some questions. Is this $75 million in the Water Bureau's 910 budget? Is it used for projects now?
For projects now, Dave?
These monies would be used primarily for projects beginning next fiscal year. We would use some of the proceeds at the end of this fiscal year, so there would be a little bit used for this in this fiscal year, but mostly for next fiscal year.
Do we have a list of the projects that it'll be used for?
I have the chief engineer and my planning director here available if you have questions about specific projects, yes.
I don't have a list of the projects, so I wouldn't know what questions to ask.
Okay. I'll have them come up and give you a general overview of the various projects that we have.
Well, it's a non-emergency, so if you could just get me a list, that would be
sure.
Fine.
We can do that easily.
And then you're always very responsive, and I greatly appreciate that. My other question is, what kind of citizen involvement is there in the capital improvement project list for the Water Bureau?
We have our budget committee, of course, and then we have stakeholder committees on many of our big projects. So, for instance, the current project that we have going at Powell Butte has a very involved citizen component, working with us and with the Parks Bureau on things like the interpretive center and the amenities that are going to be built. We've been working very closely with the Friends of Powell Butte and neighborhood associations on their stormwater issues. So, on the big projects a lot, and then on smaller neighborhood projects, we will involve the neighborhood when we're replacing a main.
That's my question is more, how is the capital improvement project formulated in priorities? Like in transportation, there's public input which projects.
Through our budget advisory committee.
And is the PURB, the Portland Utility Review Board, involved at all?
Yes, they have two members on our budget advisory committee, and whenever one of those two designees can't come to our meetings, they have another one come.
And is your budget advisory committee currently looking at the proposed list of capital improvement projects?
They have, and we have actually a meeting with them this afternoon.
Great. And is that information on the website if people want to come?
Everything we post, everything we hand out in our budget advisory committees are posted on our website as part of our budget section.
And the $5 million in annual debt, that's included in your budgeting process?
Yes, although it's more than $5 million.
The $5 million in debt service, I believe, is what you're talking about, Commissioner. And yes, that's in our financial plan.
And do we know what the interest rate is likely to be if we sell them in January?
Well, right now, rates continue to be pretty favorable. I think we're definitely under 5%, probably closer to 4.5% right now. So it's still a very favorable market. We've been fairly stable for the last 2 years or so. So.
And is there anything different about this particular kind of bond?
Not really. We're authorizing both the ability to do first and second lien bonds, which is typical for what we've done in the past. So we anticipate a pretty straightforward issue. The one thing that we do have available to us this time that we're continuing to look at is this Build America bond option that may or may not make sense for the Water Bureau in this case. That program, just in a nutshell, allows us to issue taxable bonds and then get a interest payment credit back from the federal government. Some issuers have found that results in a lower cost of capital to pursue that route, and so it's something that we're looking at very closely. And this is something that we didn't have available a year ago because it came out of the Stimulus Act. So we're continuing to look at that as a potential option.
Well, thank you, Eric. You've been very patient with me and my staff over the week to ask the questions, and thank you very much, David.
All right, this moves to a second reading, unless there's anyone here that wishes to testify on item number 1675. So moved. Can you please read purchasing report item number 1676?
Accept bid of West Tech Construction, Inc. for the Northwest 23rd Avenue Lovejoy to Burnside project for $1,920,519.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good. Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is a purchasing agent report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $1,920,519. With the bid coming in 37% lower than the engineer's estimate, the Bureau of Transportation level confidence rating is optimal. The city entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to implement this plan. Funding for this project is a combination of federal Surface Transportation Program, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and City General Transportation Revenue Funds. The project is part of the local public agency certification program, and the city is participating in with ODOT. On these types of projects, ODOT establishes a minimum disadvantaged business enterprise goal. The DBE goal for this project was 3%, and West Tech has 9.54 participation. And I'll turn this back over to council if there's questions regarding the bidding process. And Brian Oberding from PBOT is here to answer any technical questions.
Discussions from council. All right. Do I hear a motion? Or does anyone wish to testify on purchasing report 1676? Dare I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to accept. Sue, would you please call the roll on the motion?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Good work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Report accepted. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance 1677?
Modify Public Works Code and accept associated rules for new enforcement authorities and provide clarity for public works permits, required sewer connections, and maintenance of Green Street facility trees.
Thank you, Mayor.
Oh, sorry. I was waiting for you to finish the title. Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, we have before us for the Bureau of Environmental Services some rules and code package for several environmental regulatory improvements, and we'll have staff kind of walk through them. But one of them that I'm particularly proud about, and the mayor should be particularly proud about too, is the maintenance of Green Street program, maintenance of Green Streets. The BES will be assuming maintenance of Green Streets. We have over 800 Green Streets, thanks to Mayor Adams' leadership and the Greater Green Initiative when he was commissioner in charge of BES. And so I'm going to turn it over now to Don Hottenroth and Lana Danaher to walk us through this code package.
Hello.
Good morning. I'm Lana Danaher with Bureau of Environmental Services. I'm coming to you today with phase two of a four-phase code change effort with a code package that's going to be stuck in the middle of that, making it five on our public works permitting improvement packages. This one is, I think, a relatively easy one in that it's a refinement and clarification for new programs that we've put in place previously. So we have experience now telling us that we need a little more, and that's what this is about. I will just go over the three components. Involves a replacement of Chapter 1733 on the non-conforming sewer conversions. That's what we commonly call the party sewer program, and we came in a year ago with that. It's been a pretty successful program so far. We have converted over 500 party sewer connections to into compliance in the past year. And this is before we've actually gotten really going with an overall plan. So it's, I think, starting off very successfully. This will give the city and BES direct authority over the right-of-way. And it's kind of an odd one because everyone where we went when we said we've got a code package to give us authority over the sewers in the right-of-way, they went, "You mean you don't have that?" But we didn't. And this allows us when there's conflicts between a private sewer line and us needing to build a public sewer that we can get that private sewer line out of the way, obviously with due process and trying to do it in an amenable manner. The Public Works Enforcement Code, which is 1732 replacement, allows us with facilities, Green Street facilities, and this is a piece that we're very proud of because we now have over 800 Public Works facilities in the right-of-way that are green. These are swales, planters, what have you. This code allows us to ensure that people don't go in and wipe them out. I've got some codes and some pictures in here if we have time that will reflect where we have gone out doing inspections and they're just gone. Here is a swale that someone spent a lot of time and effort in putting in that when we went out to do our first inspection was gone. Well, this will allow us to work with property
owners. Filled with gravel?
It's yeah. Pea gravel.
Yeah, they filled it in.
They thought it was unfinished?
I don't know. We have gone through and done some changes to our program to make sure that it's not happening out of people just not knowing. We now have signs on these to indicate that they are of public facilities. We have a program to make sure that property owners know what to do with it, with these facilities, and part of this code package also clarifies that we will take responsibility for maintaining the facilities. This is a change that says if all of that fails, we have the ability to declare a nuisance and require them to restore to what was there. So that's a piece that this is a tomato garden that one of them was replaced with. We did wait until they harvested their tomatoes.
How can we argue against that?
Would you like me to go into why? Until they harvested, but
is it compatible to have them people plant something else within an existing
part of this code allows them to work with us to be able to make modifications to plants that are appropriate. Obviously, we want plants that will serve water quality as well as be there all year. And not be gone as soon as the harvest is over.
Are vegetables consistent with that?
Not necessarily. The wetland plants that we usually use are more designed for pollutant removal. Also, because this is treating street drainage, there might be some health concerns about actually doing edibles from water that has those kind of contaminants.
It's not ideal
for vegetable gardening, let's put it that way.
The idea is that these are treating pollutants so that you don't want those uptaked into vegetables you're going to eat.
Does it just take that conversation is helpful. This doesn't impact the ability of adjacent property owners or people who control or rent the property from just in the parking strip planting vegetables. It doesn't modify that in any way.
Of course not. Okay. This is only where there's stormwater facilities, and there is an allowance for them to work with us if they want to modify the plantings, just to make sure that they've got the information they need.
They can do it. They want you just want.
We want to make sure it's done compatibly. I doubt whether we would agree to vegetables in a facility that's for safety reasons. Yes.
Just to be clear, if it's the curb and it's not draining from the street and it's above grade, then that's a planter strip. If it's draining from the street and it's below grade and got a dip, then it is probably a stormwater facility.
Right, and it's marked. And it's marked as being a stormwater facility as well. So this just allows us to, when all else fails, require that they fix it. Now, they can have two options. They can do it themselves through a permit, or they can do it by having us do it for them. We have a re-veg program that is highly successful, and we'll be happy to come out and do it and bill them for it. But if they've modified it, they need to do that. There's also an appeal process so that if they say the damage or the modification was not done by me, we want to make sure that the person who's done this is the one who's held responsible, not the property owner. So we've made changes to make sure that there's an insurance that the perpetuator of the problem is the one who's having to fix it.
Has that been a real life issue? Have you actually asked somebody who's property strip is in front of their home, whether they did it, and did they say, well, gee, I didn't do that?
Not in the way that we have anticipated would happen, like a garbage truck or something, is what we've anticipated. We've had people say, well, we didn't do it. The last owner did it. You just didn't catch them, that kind of thing. But we